In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. It's a joy for us to be together. I missed you all last week. Had a glorious trip to the monastery. I took my four sons, my two oldest and my two youngest, and it was a unique trip for me, and I didn't get to go to the early morning 4 a.m. services because I was with little babies and changing diapers and doing things. My boys were able to go, older boys, but I was able to pray with my prayer rope and chase these guys around and be with the monks and be in the evening services and just be in the quiet with no cell phone and just really pray for all of you. And it was wondrous. And it was a good reminder that as the world swirls around, most of it's nonsense. Most stuff we worry about on the internet and TV. I'm not saying it's not consequential. I'm just saying it's not reality most of the time. And we live in a false reality given to us by media and other things. There was no phones that worked there. And Christ was risen as he is everywhere, and it was profound and palpable. So if I can share one thing, I would say, put your phone down. Don't watch TV. Don't agonize over things. Pray. Be in church as much as possible. Pray. Be in the moment, every moment. Have love. Swim in the life of the Orthodox Church. And whatever comes, we'll be okay. It's a joy for us to gather today on the Lord's Day. I say it often, we forget too often that every Sunday is Pascha, is Easter, is the resurrection. And how often do we skip liturgy on Sunday? God forgive us sometimes. Or if we do go, we maybe are like, I don't want to go. Or we forget about the joy. Think about the joy of Pascha, especially this past year when we were robbed of it in many ways because of the stupid virus. Think about that anticipation, how you dress up, how you prepare your soul and confess and go. The Holy Father said we should have the same anticipation every weekend, going to the Vespers the night before to get ready for the death of death. The death of death, that we're no longer afraid to die because we live forever in the risen Jesus Christ. We should come with this Paschal joy every Sunday. God forgive us for not doing that. It's not that the Lord isn't risen and present. The world steals our attention and our awareness. May we return to that today and greet each other with a holy kiss on the Feast of the Resurrection today. We also celebrate the icon in the middle, the Holy Fathers. The Holy Fathers, we say it a lot in the church, the Holy Fathers, Holy Fathers, Holy Fathers. These were the holy bishops and shepherds of the church throughout especially the first millennia of the church, but always, who guided to make sure the church was rooted on the truth. I came to establish my church, the Lord says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There was never an apostasy, there never shall be, because Christ is the cornerstone, the apostles is the foundation, and it's been built, and each generation stands on the shoulders of giants. These holy fathers gave their life, had their limbs cut off, they were martyred, their blood so that we here, 2020, Salt Lake City, can have the ancient, unadulterated medicine, the faith. And we honor them because they maintained the apostolic faith. And today, especially, remember the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. I don't have time to go into it, but you should know your faith. You know, Mormons know their faith. And it's even though it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of, compared to Orthodox in history, we're so rich, we have to know our faith. Now, no one's converted to Orthodox because you beat them in an argument. No, they're converted because they see that you have divine repentance and love. But you also know your faith. Apostolic succession. There never was an apostasy. Can you know that? You need to know that. What were the ecumenical councils about? So I encourage you, use the internet for good. Go look, Orthodox history of the ecumenical councils. I'll send something out this week, Father Paul and I. Read it. Know your faith. And hopefully we kiss this icon with more love. But it's like this. The gospel is our foundational, how we live. But the gospel is part and parcel with the life of the church, the lived life of the church, the lives of the saints. How do we know how to live as Orthodox Christians? The gospel, but more than the gospel. The apostolic constitutions, the apostolic canons of the church. So the canons of the church were written by the gift of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the councils whenever there was an attack on who Jesus Christ was. Some say he wasn't God. If he's not God, our salvation is nothing. But he is fully God and fully man. He came to make, he became man so that man could become like God. And if that's not the case, then people are being robbed of their salvation. We won't stand and say, oh, it's okay if Jesus isn't God. No, eternity is at stake. So it's very important that we honor these fathers because they make sure the gospel and the faith in Christ is unadulterated. And all the holy canons of the church, we have rules in the church. We have rules, but they give life. We tend to think as Americans that rules are like, rules aren't good. Rules make me feel unhappy. So, you know, it's like a kid. You know, my kid wanted a machete one year for Christmas, and I didn't get it for him. And I was a really bad guy. But of course, I was being a good dad, actually. I wanted him to hack his arms off. So imagine a parent who said, you know, I don't want to give you any rules. I don't want to hamper your style. Just eat chocolate, rot your teeth out, go to bed whenever you want. They would become such utter messes and losers. And you would never do that because, not because you don't love, because you do love them, even though they might not view it as love. It's the same as the life in the church. The Lord, it's His church. He's the head of the church. There's no separation between Him and the church. In His church, He gave us His divinely breathed holy fathers, the canons, the councils. They determine how we live the life of the church. And they point out our sinfulness. Part of a physician's job is to point out sickness. People don't like it, but he loves them. Part of the job of a shepherd is to fight off wolves and say, don't go in that pasture, you'll get eaten up, sheep. Stay in the ark of the church. To give a hard word, to give a loving consolation, that's what a shepherd, what a doctor does. That's what the church has given us, the Holy Fathers, priesthood, the gift. We're going to talk about eldership today, especially Aptina elders. It's a great gift. So when we hear these false words, forgive me, these words are ever echoed in Orthodoxy. No rules, just love. This does not exist in Orthodox Christianity. There are rules, and they are there for us, and they give love. Now, when you're a saint, you don't need rules. You're a free person in Christ. St. Paul didn't need it. St. Porphyrius had passed through all the stages. He didn't need rules. It's the same as hopefully when your kids, when they grow up, you don't have to say, you know, if you go there, I'm going to give you a spank, or here's time out. Hopefully they grow and they mature such that they understand the spirit of it and they freely choose virtue, which they don't, they need a consequence, the beginning. Hopefully we grow like that too, but in the beginning, kids need rules so they don't lose themselves. We need them too. So they're not unloving, brothers and sisters. The canons of the church, the asceticism, our worldly selves says, which is easier, sleeping or fasting? Sleeping. Getting up earlier, sleeping is easier. There's no blessing in that. What's easier, eating or fasting? Eating. But the world, and so we could say, I'm going to be a really loving priest. Don't worry about fasting. It's not important. You know, it might hamper your style a little bit. I'd be a terrible priest. Because I don't really love you. I want you to like me and make your life a little easier in a worldly way. But that would be to rob you of one of the greatest gifts, that prayer and fasting drive out demons and they uproot passions. And I really love you. So I'm willing to offend you and push you a little bit for you to embrace the great grace of fasting. That's true love of a priest and a spiritual father, to say, to give you divine gifts. Same with saying, oh, confession's not really important. It doesn't really do anything. What hucky. What a lie. But I know why. You know why? Oh, I don't want confession. I don't want, if you don't explain confession, if you don't embrace confession, and the Western mentality, oh, it's about guilt, but this, that, and the other. I can just go to God. I don't need a person. How far from the truth of our ancient Orthodox faith? And if you go to confession, you know what I'm talking about. It's so life-giving. It's so beautiful. What a terrible priest Father Paul and I would be to say, in an attempt to have you like us, to say, don't worry about confession. It doesn't really do anything. Don't really worry about it. Jesus loves you. Of course Jesus loves you. That's the whole point. He loves you so much. Are you going to honor that love by being a doofus and continuing your sins? Or are you going to say, I'm going to honor the love of the risen Christ by being as humble as I can and changing as much as I can? It's clear. It should be clear. The Holy Fathers make it very clear. Father Paul and I are going to unapologetically make it very clear. I'll apologize all day for my idiocy, of which there's much. But I will not apologize for our approach in this holy community, because it's the approach of the gospel. It's the approach of Jesus Christ. It's the approach of all the Holy Fathers throughout the time. And even the devil wants to attack outside the church and inside the church. So beware of anywhere you might go where they disparage monasticism, where they disparage fasting, they disparage prayer, confession. This is not Orthodox Christianity. This is not, we cannot kiss this icon in the midst of us today, of these holy fathers who gave their lives that we can have these divine gifts so we can lay them aside and say they're unimportant. God help us. So know that, you know, from the outside, asceticism. That's all of what Christianity is. God is love. He loves us. But how do we love each other? Not based on feelings. If I love you, I'm going to sacrifice whether I want to or not because I love you. Thought about it. It's precisely against our worldly feelings. Christ, you know, I don't always want to humble myself, but I don't want to go. I don't want to have that darkness in my heart, so I'm going to go to confession. You see what I mean? It's a great gift. The world would tell us that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What a terrible way to live. But we live differently. We confess. We repent. We don't hide our sinfulness from God and from our spiritual father. And it's not depressing. It's not down. It's not fundamentalist. It's actually life-giving. And dare I say, we rejoice. We rejoice and drink and toast and eat and dance as those who will not taste of death, brothers and sisters. People who truly repent, they have real joy. Whereas this other approach looks like love, but it's not. It's of the evil one. You know why? Because come the end, it's the same approach as this dying, dead world. That's a segue into what I really want to say today, which is that, Holy Fathers, all those counts were in the first 1,000 years of the church. That's far away, Father. They're not far away. Every generation there are Holy Fathers. Today is also an awesome remembrance today. October 11th in the church is the Synaxis, the Sobor, the gathering of all the elders of Optina. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have heard of the Optina elders? Raise your hand. So some of you, okay? Some of you, this is new. These saints need to become dear to your heart. When I was a catechumen, my priest and spiritual father and my godfather also, they made me read all the elders of Optina. There's like 9, 10 volumes now in English, thank God. And at first I went, oh, this is so long. I read the first one and my heart was hooked. And they were like, oh, these monks, I'm not a monk, and they were in Russia, I'm in America. The spiritual life is the same everywhere. What was Optina? Very quickly, there was monasticism all over the known world. All the Orthodox world, there's always been monasteries in the ancient desert of Anthony the Great and Macarius and Pachomius. But then monasticism came to the whole world, to Russia, everywhere else. And there was a time in the 1700s, 1800s, where there was a little bit of the candle of monasticism was fading a bit in Russia. And thank God, the holy mountain of Mount Athos in Greece, which is the monastic republic, has always been a fiery pillar of repentance. And has been a fountainhead for the whole Orthodox world. Russia, Greece, America to this day. And so there was a great saint, St. Paisios Velichkovsky, who was a Moldavia, and he went to Mount Athos, learned all the monastic and the spiritual life. He translated the Philokalia, the handbook of the spiritual life. It's called the Dobrotolubia in Slavonic. And he translated it all, and he brought it to the Slavs, the Romanians, to the Ukrainians, to the Slavs, and to Russia. And a couple of his disciples came, and in 1820s, they renewed this old monastery called Optina. It was a monastery, it wasn't that famous, and these two brothers came, Father Moses, Father Anthony, and then the great elder Leo came. And he had been trained, these two elders, by St. Paisios himself from the Holy Mountain, and he had this divine inheritance. It wasn't new, it was that apostolic teaching from the beginning handed down, and they began one of the most amazing phenomena in the history of Christianity. It's called Starchestvo, an eldership. This idea of a yerenda, of a spiritual father, and it was amazing, and it was unknown, unheard of. We know there's elders here. There's an elder there. There's an abbess here. There's a holy... And the Lord always gives them to us if we know Orthodoxy. People that don't know monasteries, forgive me, don't know. They're missing a huge part of Orthodoxy. We don't have them in Utah. Hopefully we will someday. We have to know them and explore them. That these symbiotic, the parishes in the world with us married, and the monastics who are praying for us, we're together in the spiritual battle. Now, in this time, they came and amazing thing. Not one elder here and there, for 100 years, brothers and sisters, 1820s, until the communist, godless Bolsheviks came and destroyed, liquidated the monastery. Every generation, for over 100 years, there was a constant flow of elders handed down, unheard of in the spiritual life. Now there's always been eldership, always been spiritual fatherhood. St. Paul says you have many fathers, you have many teachers, but you have one father, for I have begotten you in the gospel. What does that mean? It means we have many teachers and things we listen to. We have one spiritual father. We don't go hopping around. We have one spiritual father who has begotten us in the gospel, and he guides us to salvation. It's like a coach in a sports team. We all need that. And to think we don't is very proud. I don't need a coach. Those are the worst athletes. They're the ones, the show-offs. Humility to have someone to guide you. It's the ancient Christian way. What was amazing was in the Egyptian desert, some lay people like us would go out there in the old days, but usually they were guiding other monastics. What was amazing about the phenomena of Optina, brothers and sisters, was all of society came there for 100 years. Men, women, young people, soldiers, every walk of life, priests, married priests like myself, great, great writers. You know, if you know Dostoevsky, he was in a terrible part of his life. He went there, and his interaction with the greatest elder Ambrosi, changed his whole life. And in fact, if you read his book, you should read the Brothers Karamazov. It's a life-changing book, thoroughly Orthodox book. One of the main elders, Elder Zosima, is patterned off of the true saint, Saint Ambrose. Nikolai Gogol, one of the greatest writers, also was influenced. And even Leo Tolstoy, who, sadly, very sadly, his sister was a nun, you know, under the Optina elders in a monastery nearby, and she begged him to repent because he got very popular and he started to go against the church. He was excommunicated from the church for very, very good reasons, by the way. At the end of his life, there was a word that he wanted to repent. And in fact, Elder Saint Barsanufios of Optina went to go and receive his confession, and his entourage wouldn't allow the monk to go and see him, and he died without repentance. God forgive him. And you know, the fathers say that had he repented, it might have stemmed the tide of the darkness of the Bolshevik Revolution, because the Bolsheviks loved him. They used him. They in 1920s Russia, 30s, only literature was really published was Tolstoy, because see, he debunked the church. You see, so that my point being, all of society was influenced, and they went and they laid their hearts before these holy priests, monks, and they left consoled. They left full of joy. Joy. They came with spiritual ailments, just like us. Not different. Oh, my marriage is so hard. I have this sickness. I can't repent. I have this addiction. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling so much. And they were able to go there and receive healing. But it wasn't just there. That spread to the parishes. And the good priests in that time, they would go and they would make those elders their spiritual fathers so they could take that joy with them. So they could have Optina everywhere. In the life of the church, even in the world. It was wondrous. I really encourage you, please read. We have the books in the bookstore. We can get them more. Lev, Makarios, Ambrosius, Anatolios of Optina. I mean, St. Nectarios was one of the last ones. St. Nectari, who was alive after they liquidated the monastery. He was no less great than the first one. And by the grace of God, after 70, 80 years of communist darkness, Optina has been reopened. It's stunningly beautiful now. And you know, in the early 90s, as the monastery was being refurbished, there was a beautiful miracle, sad miracle on Pascha. There were three holy monks, the higher monk Vasily, Basil, and the monk Trofim, and the monk, Vasilios, Trofimus, I'll think of the other one in a minute. And these three monks were martyred on Pascha night by a Satanist in the monastery. As they were walking, there's a great book called At the Ringing of the Bells. This book will make you weep. And they're standing on the shoulders of the giants of Optina. After the monastery was liquidated, it was made into a latrine. They took the churches and made them into latrines, or like poorhouses, or they made them into places for animals. Horrific what the communists did. So be careful. When you see communism coming in America, we sniff it. It leads to terrible things. Not to all things being shared. It leads to gulag and people taking holy places and defiling them, brothers and sisters. But in the 90s, these three monks were martyred. And you might say, oh, it's so sad. No, they were ready to die. You read, they had a premonition they were going to die. And their holy relics are there too. And now, all the holy relics were discovered. All but one of the holy elders of Optina, now enshrined in the church, along with these three new elders of Optina. And that place is shining with new elders and new joy. So why do I tell you this today? Well, first of all, it's their feast. And because the saints, when they die, they live with Christ and they're more powerful. So if they were able to help people that went to them in life, they can help us now. So when you're in your prayer corner, we have so many saints we can call upon. It's overwhelming. It's beautiful. I hope all of us will learn to love these saints and say, St. Ambrose, help me. Elders of Optina, I'm requesting relics of all of them for both churches. I want to get an icon. I want all the relics of those Optina elders. And God willing, we'll receive them if it's blessed. I want their help. As you helped us when you were alive, all you elders, please help us. Please, God. And because Christ is risen and all the saints live in Christ, brothers and sisters, they hear our prayers and they have more power now. We don't have to be in Russia or anywhere. We can be anywhere in the world and call upon Christ, His Holy Mother, all the saints, our guardian angel, and divine grace and power showers down upon us. How can we not become saints? How can we not become holy? How can we not become joyful every moment with all the power of the saints, of the millions of saints we have praying for us, brothers and sisters? You might say, well, we don't have Optina anymore. Have their prayers. What do we do here in Salt Lake City? You know, we sort of have Optina. We have the monasteries. We have great elders. Elder Ephraim, of blessed memory, was really a saint. He came to America and brought Athos to America. And there's 20 monasteries under him. And my spiritual father is one of the abbots there. There's monasteries, many, many of them in America. 50, 60, 70 now. So there are monasteries. But you might get a false idea. Oh, only, the monastery is the only place that the real spiritual life. Wrong. That's never been understood in the Orthodox Church. There has to be a symbiosis. A good monk respects a parish. And a good parish respects the monastery. And they love each other. I just got back from the monastery. I can tell you, it's so true. I feel their love. They're praying for us. We're praying for them. I feel them. I'm not a frou-frou kind of guy. We always say, distance doesn't mean anything in the spiritual life. The abbess tells me, Father, we're going to be in liturgy together every Sunday. And I truly believe that. I sense that. I feel that with the fathers are going to, they serve liturgy in their little cell with no electricity in New Mexico. I'm on Athos in Russia, Romania, and we're serving here. We're mystically united. The same liturgy, the same prayer. How can we be depressed? You know why? We don't think about this stuff. You're thinking about the stupid sports game. Sports are fine, but it's too much in our minds. We're thinking about something else, our clothes, or this, or that. We're not swimming in this. No, we have to do the other stuff, no doubt. But to swim in this, we can keep our joy, and we'll have our heads on straight to be able to like live in this crazy world. And not just live, but thrive. Not because everything goes our way worldly, because we can be persecuted, we can be struggled, we can be in prison, but we have the love of Christ. And that's exactly what the Optina elders brought. I want to hearten you today. It's the same now. We have the monasteries, we have Mount Athos, which I've been to a few times, and I've gone and brought all that fruit to you. Just came back for the Paul, and I bring this fruit, and our parish is a powerful cell of healing. This is an outpost of the kingdom of heaven, just like the monastery. Well, our Optina, my Optina, is the monastery of the Holy Archangels and the nuns in Texas, those monasteries there. I have linked myself with the elders and the elders and the abbot there. And I'm linked onto that living tradition. Why? Because I need it and because I want to give it to you. It's not practical for everyone to go there. Not everyone needs a monastic spiritual father. All you need is a humble heart and to dedicate yourself to your spiritual father. And guess what St. Sophronius says? You can make a very simple priest. You can make, whether it's me or Father Paul, if you approach confession with humility and love, you can make, even me, a very sinful priest, you can make me a prophet. Not because of myself, but because of your humility and your love and your trust in the office of the Holy Priesthood and your humility. There's no spiritual life without obedience, brothers and sisters. Now, it's not like the monastery. The monastery is like, they get a blessing to drink water when they go to bed, when they eat. Of course we don't do that in the parish. It's not like that, right? We're obedient to our spouse in many ways, but our spiritual father helps us. He guides us. How should we pray? How do we pray with our families? Of course, helping us with our passions, our struggles. Should we take this job or not? Is it going to be against our faith? We talk about these kind of things, right? All these kind of things, our passions. And if you do that, it's wondrous, and you grow and you're healed because you're showing obedience and humility. In a different way, but in the same spirit as those monastics are. Though they became great lights by their obedience and their love. People flocked to the Optina elders, and if they listened and they humbled themselves and followed it, they were healed. It's the same way. What a great, wondrous faith. Doesn't matter if you're in Romania, if you're in Antarctica. There's even a church in Antarctica, by the way. There's a Russian Orthodox church in Antarctica. That's awesome, by the way. And with monks there praying every day. I don't know if you knew that. And everywhere, Salt Lake City now, which is going to become an Orthodox Mecca, if I have anything to do with it, is that the same Holy Spirit is present. The same Holy Spirit in Pentecost is present in every Orthodox church. It's so beautiful. Healing is possible, brothers and sisters. Christ loves us. Christ loves us and gives us full joy in the church. And we must know, angels are the light of monastics. And monastics are the light of lay people, us. That's a divinely inspired thing. St. Paul says, I wish that all men would stay like myself. What did he mean by that? Help me out. What did he mean? All men stay like myself. What did he mean? Slightly balding? No. What did he mean? Single. Yes. That's not an affront to marriage. But St. Paul said, I wish that all people, the perfect life is to be a monastic. It is. We don't feel bad about that as married people and say, oh, we're less of people because we're not monks. And no, I love being married. It's an awesome life. The Lord blessed it, did his first miracle to have wine and joy. We know that St. Paul says a person who's married first has to seek to take care of their family. A person who's not is totally dedicated to God. We need both, brothers and sisters. So if you're not married, perhaps God is calling you to be monastic. And from the prayers of the Optina elders, may you seek it with the help of Father Paul and myself. it is truly the highest, most beautiful life. But if that's not our calling from God, visiting the monasteries and living the authentic spiritual life is going to heal us and make us the best people for holy marriage, to be holy husbands and mothers and wives, and it's going to create a wondrous thing. I want to end by just saying this. The spiritual life is about joy. People get bogged down and think, you know, like confession and prayer and the monastery, getting up early and doing it. From the outside, it looks junky. It's only from the outside. When you embrace it, please start embracing it more and more. Vespers last night. I'm not a math guy, but there wasn't as many people here last night. I don't say it in a guilt way. I say, start making Vespers so important to you. Let's make it just as full. And you know what? You go, oh, it's an hour out of my Saturday night. And your heart is filled. And we're together and you're ready. It's an asceticism. It's a sacrifice. Absolutely. And the blessings are way bigger. Start keeping the fast on Wednesday and Friday more. Eat a little bit less. Get ready for the nativity fast and keep it. Go to confession on a regular basis to Father Paul or myself, to your spiritual father. Embrace it. Really put your whole heart. Love each other. Get to know each other. The new church is almost built. It's stunningly beautiful. This church is so beautiful. This is an outpost of the kingdom of heaven, and it's about joy. I end by reading you about this one of the holy elders. I could spend all day with their words, but listen to some of the things they talked about. And I had a monk friend that went to Optina, by the way. And you know what he said? What really summed up, he'd been to many monasteries in the world, the unbelievable joy of the monks there. He said there was something different. What was different? Looking at the faces of the monks, the pilgrims, the old schema monks, blessing the children, patting them on the head, I could tell, above all, true spiritual joy reigned. Not worldly joy, the joy of a life lived totally in Christ. The joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of ascetical repentance. So there's joy in other places I visited, but there was a joy that outshined them all. He says, you saw it in every word. And we should have it too, brothers and sisters. Listen to what Elder Anatoly said. A monk or a Christian should always be joyful. If he is not, that means he is not living in the way a Christian should live. That's a good admonition for monks, but for all Christians, it's like a test or a standard. Ask yourself, am I joyful? If not, why? Is God not good? Has he not given me everything I need for my salvation? How could we not rejoice and say glory to God for all things if we're aware of what we're talking about today? There's one word from Elder Anatoly, St. Anatoly. It's a good reminder in an age that we're so wrought with distraction, anxiety, depression. We must be joyful, brothers and sisters. And this joy isn't a worldly joy. Otherwise, not fasting, not confessing would make you joyful, but it didn't. And that's why you're here. To embrace the life in the Holy Spirit. And joy comes from prayer. Listen to what he says. Pray according to your strength. Do it with humility and self-reproach, and you will get used to it. It's work. And you will love the prayer so that no one can take this joy of prayer from you, even by force. This is because prayer is sweet and gives joy. About the Jesus prayer especially, which we always talk about, one should trace on the soft young heart the sweetest name, the radiant prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. From that time on, there'll be the greatest joy and eternal happiness. Wow. Elder Anthony of Optina said, there is joy in the frequent remembrance of God. As it is written, I remembered God and I was gladdened. Of course, Elder Ambrose of Optina the Greatest says, we must begin with thanksgiving for everything. The beginning of joy, listen to this, the beginning of joy is to be content with your current situation. Not wishing it was different. To be content and thankful for your current situation. At Optina, this monk could feel that joy. He could feel it in the church services. He could feel it in the singing, in the interactions of the clergy and the pilgrims. You know what? I feel that same joy here at Saints Peter and Paul. I feel the rumblings of that joy in our parish, and we have to nourish it. That love and embracing each other and kissing each other and spending time together and praying together and weeping together and rejoicing and baptizing our kids together and going to confession and doing a kathos together and eating and drinking and weeping and burying each other and bringing new life. It's awesome. It's awesome. And it's not the lone blessing of the monasteries. It's available to every Orthodox Christian community who wants it, and I hope we do. It's this joy that comes from prayer, from a life of repentance, from the grace of the Holy Spirit. You should know, by the historical standards of the church, 2,000 years, the elders of Optina, they weren't that severe of ascetics. I mean, maybe comparatively, They didn't live in caves like some of the monks. They didn't starve themselves. They lived, their cells were a lot like our bedrooms. They didn't live really ascetically in that way. They drank tea and wine at feasts. They were jovial at times even. Yet they were real people of prayer. They met with many, many people. They weren't alone and quiet like we're not. Met with so many people, lay people like us, monastics, to help them with their problems, to confess them, and ultimately to show them true love, which is healing, spiritual healing. And they did it all with sincere love. Love for God and love for their neighbor. A joyful love. With a paschal joy. The joy of the risen Christ. Nothing greater than we say, Christ is risen. Truly He is risen. Why is this not our constant thought and our constant meditation? It's a joy that the world chases after with drugs and sex and everything else, and it comes up empty and depressed. It's a joy that's only found in the risen Christ. As St. Nikon of Optina said, if we will be with Christ and in Christ always, then no kind of sorrow will confuse us, but joy will fill our heart, so that even in times of sorrows and temptations, we shall rejoice. So let us look at ourselves, especially today, brothers and sisters, our spiritual life. Let's be real. Let's look at our disposition, our worldliness. Are we joyful? Do we give thanks to God for all things? According to St. Anatoly of Optina, if we're not joyful, if we're not giving thanks to God for all things, the good, even the bad, junky stuff, and if we're not joyful, there's something not quite right in our spiritual lives, and we aren't living the way as Christians should. For this joy, it's not just emotion, an emotion we conjure up. No. True joy comes as a gift from God. It's a grace and fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes from what? A life fully dedicated and lived in Christ, through Christ, for Him, Christ in everything. So brothers and sisters, in this glorious October 11, 2020, the Feast of the Optina Elders, let us remember the great joy. One thing radiates the Christian life of asceticism for them and for us is joyful. Let's remember that joy of the elders gone before us. As St. Seraphim of Sarov said, acquire the spirit of peace, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and thousands around you will be saved. The Optina Elders, they attained and acquired this peace. And how many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have been saved because of them? Because of their peace, their counsel, their example, their words, their witness, and their prayers still now until the end of time. Let us all keep these words of joy in our hearts today as we continue with the liturgy now, move on throughout the day and the rest of our lives so that we can truly thank God in every way with our hearts, with our minds, our hands, singing, rejoicing, weeping. We can truly say to our living God who loves us and is risen, glory be to God for all things. I love Thee, O Lord. Thank You for everything You have given me. Glory to You, O God. And if we do this, we'll have joy that nothing in this world can take away from us. Lord, in the prayers of Your holy Optina elders, help us to repent. Help Father Paul and I to be holy priests and holy spiritual fathers to guide, to grab onto Your coattails, to guide and to heal and to lead people to the beautiful haven of salvation. Help us, O Lord, in their prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed feast. Amen.